97.7 FM.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The nation pauses this weekend to mark the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. A bagpiper in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 crashed after what's believed to have been a passenger revolt against the hijackers, and where a memorial to the 40 people killed is being dedicated. Former President George W. Bush is there.
The memory of that morning is fresh, and so is the pain. America shares your grief. We pray for your comfort, and we honor your loved ones.
The Flight 93 memorial, part of the nation's newest national park. U.S. officials tell ABC News they believe they have the name of at least one of three individuals suspected of being involved in a possible al-Qaeda plot to attack New York or Washington this weekend.
At a meeting with his national security team this morning, the president received an update on the nation's preparedness for a potential terror attack. In New York and here in Washington, there's a surge of police on the streets as U.S. officials track a specific and credible, though unconfirmed, terror threat.
ABC's Taman Bradley at the White House. 70,000 people who evacuated the flooding Susquehanna River in northeast Pennsylvania might get the okay to return home this afternoon, but many will find the mess of homes that were filled to their roofs with floodwater.
In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the Susquehanna River crested at a record 42 feet. That's 1 foot higher than the city's flood walls. The end result of what NOAA estimates to be 45 trillion gallons of rain dumped on the U.S. by Tropical Storm Lee. Enough to fill Yankee Stadium nearly 58,000 times.
ABC's Lindsay Davis. Overseas volunteers have been joining Libyan fighters for a final assault on one of the last remaining towns loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. A deadline for the town's surrender expired this morning. You're listening to ABC News.
It's 11:02, Saturday, September 10th, 67 degrees right now in Seattle. Sunny today, highs in the 80s tonight, clear, lows in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunny, even hotter. Highs will be in the low 90s. I'm Art Sanders. Now the top stories from the Como 24-hour newsroom. Search for a missing Navy seaman ended with a tragic discovery. 21-year-old Nick No was found dead along with his motorcycle just south of Naval Air Station Whidbey, where he was stationed. They believe he crashed through a fence, ending up in someone's yard. And a former Kent High School teacher will spend 8 months in jail for having sex with a student. Barbara Anderson pleaded guilty in July. Now a judge has ordered her to stay away from the student. Prosecutors say the two started a sexual relationship after texting. And despite bolstering the number of U.S. Border Patrol agents on the Canadian border in Washington State, Como's Tracy Ellis tells us the number of arrests of people entering the country illegally was actually dropped every year since 2001.
Hundreds of Border Patrol agents were added nationally to the northern border after the September 11th terrorist attacks. Politicians and security officials worried that terrorists could enter the country through the vast stretch. Agency figures show that in the Blaine sector, which covers western Washington, the number of arrests totaled more than 2,000 in 2001 and dropped to less than 700 last year. In the Spokane sector, which covers eastern Washington, the number dropped from more than 1,300 10 years ago to less than 400 now. Border Patrol spokesman Richard Sink says apprehensions have declined because they reflect deterrence brought by the number of agents now present and because some enforcement tasks have been transferred to other agencies. Before September 11th, two men who were later convicted of planning a terrorist attack were detained in Washington State by Customs and Border personnel. Tracy Ellis, Como News Radio.
People across the country are remembering the 9/11 attacks. Kimberly was in Tacoma attending a nighttime candlelight vigil days later when it really sank in.
I just started to cry. It was really, really moving. And I think at that point, I realized that it was kind of this is something that everybody is going to have to deal with and live with and probably forever.
Well, this weekend, many churches in our area are holding 9/11 services, memorials, commemorations, even concerts. But there are many other events marking the 10th anniversary of the terror attacks. Among the largest at Seattle Center, King County Executive Dow Constantine, Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn, and others will make brief remarks. Then there'll be a moment of silence at the International Fountain. Seattle's bravest stair climb for police and firefighters, widows, and children starts at 9:30 at 2 Union Square. At Memorial Stadium, starting at noon, speakers, music, and a ceremony leading up to a global synchronized moment of love at precisely 3:46. The Auburn Symphony Orchestra performs a tribute concert at 2:30. At 6 at the Puyallup Fair, a speech by retired Major General James Collins Jr., followed by fireworks, and at 7 at Alki Beach, a candlelight vigil at the Statue of Liberty. Stay with the Como News Network for continuing coverage all weekend of the 9/11 anniversary and the latest terrorism threat. And our hot spell can be deadly for pets. The Seattle Humane Society's Rhonda Manville says watch for signs of heat stroke, excessive panting, a dark or bright red tongue and gums, staggering, walking in a stupor, seizures, and sometimes diarrhea and vomiting.
You never want to leave a dog outside in the sun. If your pet is outside, you want to make sure that they have a place to get out of that sun and get into some shade. Obviously, plenty of water.
And Rhonda says, never leave your pet in a car. It can become too hot very quickly, even with the windows cracked. It's 67 degrees in Seattle. Coming up, we continue with Tammy Michaels' Inside Out, a special edition tribute to 9/11. I'm Art Sanders, Como News Radio.
Como AAA traffic and weather, every 10 minutes on the 4s.
Here's Judith Larson with a check of traffic.
Well, for the first time in, what, over an hour and a half now, Jennifer, I can tell you I think we're temporarily free of blocking problems. We're still dealing with heavy congestion heading north on I-5 from Alro to 45th and westbound. The 520 bridge is still pretty busy mid-span. We've got lots of events affecting your drive. In fact, already we've got some Husky fans headed to Husky Stadium. That football game when they take on Hawaii starts at 12:30. Then we got later on tonight a Mariners game at 7:10 at Safeco Field, and long before that in the Soto District at CenturyLink Field, 1 p.m. That's when the Sounders play. Well, you're never more than 10 minutes away from your next traffic update. I'm Judith Larson in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
We could set some new records around Western Washington today when it comes to heat. Our temperatures going to the mid to upper 80s. A few spots might even hit 90 degrees before the day is up. Our temperatures staying on the warm side for Sunday as well. Also in that upper 80s, even lower 90s in a few spots on a Sunday. So again, if you want some cooler temperatures, head near the water. The North Sound and places like, say, Oak Harbor, you'll be hanging out in the mid to upper 70s there. But boy, what a refreshing treat compared to, say, 90 degrees in places like Lacey and Olympia. Now on through the following days on Monday and Tuesday. We cool things down a bit on Monday and more so for Tuesday. I'm Theron Zahn, that's your latest forecast from Como 4 News. We're working for you.
Thank you, Theron. Right now, it's mostly clear across the Puget Sound area. 70 degrees in Tacoma, 64 in Everett. The capital's at 70 degrees, and it's 68 in downtown Seattle.
This is a special edition of Inside Out with Tammy Michaels, remembering 9/11.
It's 11:07 here on Como News Radio. Good morning, and thanks for joining us today. It is a special edition of Inside Out. Tammy Michaels and her husband, Guy, are in the studio with us, along with Art Sanders. And for the last hour, we've been listening to your conversation with Charlie Harger, in which you looked back at the tragic events of 9/11, and you were there. You were front and center. You were in the hotel across the street as it happened. You videotaped, you called in, it's just astounding to me that in the midst of a crisis of this magnitude, you had the presence of mind to record when you're at the same time just trying to survive.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that happens is when you are surrounded by the professionals in a newsroom, it's easy to mimic professional behavior.
Did you realize at the time that, you know, that you were recording history, that, you know, you were probably one of the few people that were there doing that?
The World Trade Center being on fire with a mammoth fire that began raging out of control. It didn't matter what caused that fire.
Yeah.
I knew that was at least noteworthy. I don't want to overstate as if I understood the magnitude of what I was witnessing. I honestly, in my heart, believed that a pilot had a heart attack and accidentally hit the tower. I didn't even know how big the plane was because I woke up, you know, having seen parts of what I thought was a jet, but, you know, I thought it could have been a small jet. And so I did not know that it was a jumbo jet. So I don't want to overstate what I thought it was or what would roll out after that, you know. But Guy, who's here now, Guy immediately thought terrorism. And I just want to give one little bit of background about Guy. At the time on 9/11, Guy was the CEO of an international data communications company. And Guy was in New York for his business, and I was there because it was Fashion Week, and I was trying to get stories for Como to talk about, the interior design aspects of the fashion industry, Tommy Hilfiger, Donna Karan, etc. And so Guy was there for what he'd done. I want to give you a little bit of history about Guy. Guy actually, with his data communication system, and we won't get into a lot of the details, Guy installed the system that the military used, and he was in Somalia a week, days before Black Hawk Down. The military used his system and some of his communications materials. And I think that's really important because he traveled all over the world. He'd been in countries. And so
he's experienced terrorism, yes, and people involved,
yes,
with that.
And our family calls him Blonde Bond.
Well, so, it's not like the rest of us or a lot of us who've never been to those countries.
So, you know, that experience, and I want to also, I'm going to share one other thing, which is, you two know my personality, mm-hmm, and I'm a tenacious little broad. And I got to tell you something, that on that day, a still small voice in my head. Now, I thought it was my dad, and I got to tell you, I really believe it was. And for those who don't believe that, that's okay. Said, you listen to this man, Tammy, and you're going to be okay. And anybody who knows me knows I do things my own way, and I don't listen to other people easily. But I really want to welcome Guy onto this hour. Thank you, honey, for coming in here.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
But you thought it was terrorism out of the gate. I didn't. I thought.
It's right on the tape. You hear him saying
it. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I thought it was a massive bomb that had gone off at the Trade Center, like 93.
Yeah.
And so that's where my mind immediately went to. As Tammy mentioned, I'd traveled a lot around the world and to different Arab countries. And I was just more aware of it than other people, the threat that was out there. So that's where I didn't possibly imagine it could have been a plane, because how could that happen, a plane flying into the Trade Center?
You not only thought it was terrorism, you thought it was Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Well,
you actually said that out loud, and I was like, Al what? And I think that
up to that point, very few of us had even, you know, really heard of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just more aware of the threat than others.
Yeah. You even knew who Osama bin Laden was.
Yeah.
And identified that, you know, I think that the videotape that you shot, and I want people to know this, Guy shot that videotape. Guy shot it. Every minute of that footage that is history was shot by him. You did. And actually, the FBI individuals that looked at literally hundreds of hours of videotape said that you did a professional job shooting that videotape.
They said that? Really?
It had never been used before, this camera. And it was brand new, and we brought it along the trip. Tammy talked me into it, as you heard in the first hour. And
yeah, he didn't want to carry anything extra on the plane.
Yeah.
Well, I know that this has even been used in a court proceeding.
I know that we have to head out to our break for traffic coming up here.
Yeah.
But I think that that's so that we shot this videotape. Guy shot it, and I called into Como. And what I want to talk about next is what happened to the videotape right after the events of 9/11, where we were across the street in the World Trade Center, and Guy taped the entire events. And then what happened to that videotape?
So we'll have that answer questioned. We'll have that question answered, rather, and more after we come back from a quick check of traffic and weather.
Como AAA traffic and weather, every 10 minutes on the 4s.
And now with a look at traffic, here's Judith Larson. How's it going out there?
Much better than it was a while ago. However, heading north on I-5 from mid-Boeing Field to northeast 45th, not so good. Getting a little busy, too, heading west over the 520 bridge. We've got the right lane northbound 5 at Roanoke closed for road work. And don't forget your I-5 ramps to and from Mercer also closed for road work. Plus, I noticed the Hood Canal Bridge is still open for marine traffic. So that is why you see State Route 104 in either side of the bridge stacking up right now. You're never more than 10 minutes away from your next traffic update. I'm Judith Larson, the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Lots of sunshine wall to wall today and temperatures rising. We're going to go to the mid to even upper 80s in a lot of areas. Some spots could even hit 90 degrees today, even warmer on Sunday with more sunshine. So it could be a record-breaking weekend around Western Washington. On through Monday and Tuesday, we start to cool things down a bit. By midweek, we're back to the low to mid 70s. I'm Theron Zahn. That's your latest forecast from Como 4 News. We're working for you.
70 degrees in Tacoma and Olympia, 64 in Everett, and 68 degrees in downtown Seattle.
Como News Radio. Now, more of our conversation with Tammy Michaels, Remembering 9/11.
Thanks for joining us on a very special edition of Inside Out with Tammy Michaels today. I'm Jennifer Harriman, along with Art Sanders and Tammy's husband, Guy Rossbrook, in the studio today, taking both a look back at 9/11 10 years ago and a look forward as to how your life has been changed and transformed since that day. But over the break, what you mentioned was something that a lot of people may not realize is how very, very seriously Guy was injured that day.
He was, and he was actually videotaping, and so he was very focused on the small screen when the second plane hit. And there's an in the tape, what you hear is you hear him say, "Oh no," and then the tape cuts out. And what happened, Guy?
You were blown back, right? Yeah,
I was standing right against the window, trying to get the best camera.
Sure.
And that you have to imagine how close that plane was—a jetliner crashing into a building across a small street from us. And so it just sent this fireball directly at us. The plane's path was heading directly for our hotel, and fireball just came right at us. And my memory is these giant pieces of steel girder hurtling towards us in our hotel. And the concussion from it just sent me flying back, and I cracked my neck. And I just thought my neck hurt. You know, the adrenaline was flowing so fast that I didn't think it was too serious.
You know, I didn't know how badly he was hurt, because if you ever watch like NFL games where the football player really gets knocked down and then he jumps right back up. And so I knew he'd hit it pretty hard, and I actually thought he was knocked out. But then, you know, he bounced back up and his fists were clenched, and that's when, you know, Guy, what you said to me was, I mean, you have to understand something. I wanted to go. I wanted to leave the hotel right then. You've got both buildings now on fire.
I want out of there, yeah.
Yeah, I want to leave.
A lot of people really wanted to know why didn't we leave. And so
we get that one.
We
get that question.
That now. First, when the first plane hit, the hotel PA system told everybody stay in your room. There was so much debris flying around through the air that they felt it was safer to stay in the room. And you hear that on the tape. And then when the second plane hit, they did start to evacuate the hotel. And we decided to stay, first because...
We?
Well, you kind of agreed eventually. I shut the camera off so we could talk about these things.
He's so polite. He shut the camera off. So while we're arguing about going and staying, it wouldn't record us arguing about going or staying.
Husband and wife.
Because the FBI asked me, they were like, "Why did you shut off the video camera?" I would go, "Well, we were arguing about whether we should go or whether we should stay."
I know. And so I thought it was safer in the hotel because literally tens of thousands of people were down on the street.
Yeah.
And I feared there was going to be another attack on the street, and I didn't want to be down there.
Was that because of your training that you received in traveling all over the world to less safe countries that you were aware of that?
Well, it was just really a clear, coordinated terrorist attack, and it just seemed like such an obvious target that I was afraid it could get hit that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was safer in our room. And then not too long after that, though, from our vantage point, man, we're so close to that South Tower, we could see above the explosion point the building was leaning. Just a couple degrees.
Oh, you could see that.
And we could.
And melting. And the steel. On our videotape, you can see the steel melting down the side of the building.
And
the conspiracy people always want to say, steel doesn't melt. I've got a video that says it melts.
So I was really afraid. I never thought the whole tower would come down. But I thought above the explosion point, it could fall down. And I didn't want to be on the street then. So we stayed, and I talked her into staying, and you know, either way, it was a dangerous situation.
Well, and the other thing was, too, that people don't understand, Guy kept saying there could be organized attacks down below. And, you know, we see that in these terrorist attacks now, that they not only hit a big target, but then what they do is, especially places like Israel, they then target the emergency responders afterwards and the onlookers that gather. So Guy was saying to me from the hotel, he's like, "Look, the building's starting to lean a little bit. But the other thing is there could be an organized attack down below. We could be trying to exit, and then they're going to be, you know, they could have weapons." They could have other bombs. We're no safer down there than we are up here in this hotel room.
I'll tell you, though, the worst moment for me was after both towers had collapsed, and we could smell the smoke and the fires below us, and then we saw the black smoke coming through the vent in our hotel room, which we then knew our hotel was on fire.
Yeah.
And I talked my wife into staying, and we'd seen literally dozens of people jump to their death. And I just thought, I may have killed my wife by staying here.
Yeah.
It was just sickening feeling.
You don't know. You don't know.
How can you know? I would imagine you have competing impulses to stay or to go. I mean, you're full of adrenaline, fight or flight.
And then you hear the intercom with the people saying, mm-hmm. now it's time to evacuate.
Exactly.
Were other people staying in the hotel? Were there others? They were all leaving.
We learned later from the security and the management of the hotel that we were the only two people in that hotel. Even the security people had left. We were the only
really?
Two. Yeah,
and we've become actually very close to the security people because we got a phone call from the Millennium Hilton saying, you know, what were you people in their New York accident? What were you people doing in there? We evacuated the hotel. But, you know,
were they surprised when you came trotting out?
No, they were gone. There was nobody.
The lobby was empty.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they were gone, gone, gone.
Completely blown out as if bombs had gone off.
That's from that concussion and all that debris flying in and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so it was actually, so then you get into what happened to the tape.
Well, first, let me just say, Tammy likes to always remind people that I was injured, but so was Tammy. When we left the hotel, there was an explosion, and it caused facial burns for Tammy. You wouldn't know it. She's so gorgeous. But she also lost 40% of her lung capacity.
Really?
Just that air was so contaminated, and the pH was like Drano, we'd learned later, and she lost 40% of her lung capacity.
I still, to this day, remain compromised at 30% loss.
Yeah.
Which is...
And just about everybody that was... in that area suffers that, I would think.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. If you had any kind of allergies before, your lungs or your respiratory, you were more susceptible.
Yeah.
But then the people who had longer exposures really were also compromised. One of the things that I want to say is that we were incredibly calm. That is something that the FBI, as they listened to the tape, they said, you were both so calm.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I remained calm because I was with Guy.
Oh, it really wasn't a fright or flight. I mean, we were very rational and made a rational decision to stay.
So. How were you able to stay so calm? I mean, if she's staying calm because of you, were
he
you staying calm
that
because
way.
Of her?
Or he is that way.
You're just that
I'm
guy?
I'm from Minnesota. I don't know. We're pretty low-key there.
Oh, come on.
No, he is. He's very strong, and he's very resolved in the way that he looks at any situation.
Yeah.
And people that know him know that he sums up complexities. And, you know, I want to talk about the fact that here we had this videotape. Now, I want you to understand something. There is no other tape like this videotape. It was shot by Guy, the man who's sitting right here. It was shot with a professional-grade video camera from one consistent location, which is at the Millennium Hilton, directly across the street. Church Street is two lanes, directly across the street from the World Trade Center. Literally, the tape started about 2-3 minutes after the first planes hit. The tape continues to roll video to the second plane hitting. And we stay in those rooms because we believe it's safer. Guy believes it's safer than it is to leave. And so we continue taping through both buildings collapsing. And so a lot of people have questions about what happened to the videotape. And I know we have to hit traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had its own journey. And I want to talk about that when we come back from traffic.
Yeah, and no one's seen this in the public. the
not
public
in
hasn't
its entirety.
Seen.
Not, yeah. a, not in its entirety.
But yeah. theories abound. You've gotten some very bad press for it in the blogs and so on, and I'm looking
People
forward...
People have said things that what we've done with the tape. So we're going to tell you what we did yeah, with the tape.
Completely
when we
unfair. But you're going to set the record straight at, right after traffic.
Como AAA traffic and weather. Every 10 minutes on the fours.
So Judith, how are the roads?
Much better than they were about an hour ago. We're still congested northbound 5 from mid-Boeing Field to northeast 45th, and also getting even busier heading west over the 520 bridge. Some of that could be Husky game traffic. We got the UW Husky football game at Husky Stadium. Game time is 12:30. And we're a little slow south 405 at 167, where they just recently cleared a blocking accident. Looks like the Hood Canal Bridge is still open, though, for marine traffic. And boy, what a backup we've got on either direction of 104. You're never more than 10 minutes away from your next traffic update. I'm Judith Larson in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Hey, thanks a lot, Judith. More sunny, warm days ahead. In fact, today, highs reach the upper 80s with a few spots in the low 90s. Tomorrow will be warmer still with highs reaching 90 in Seattle and low 90s to our south and east. Monday should cool off a wee bit with highs in the mid to upper 80s, and then Tuesday cooling off much more as highs drop to the 70s. For right now, though, we have mostly clear skies, 72 degrees in Tacoma, 71 in downtown Seattle.
You're listening to A Conversation with Tammy Michaels, Remembering 9/11. Her personal story on Como News Radio.
Thanks for joining us today with Inside Out, a special edition with Tammy Michaels. She's joined by her husband, Guy Rossbrook. I'm Jennifer Harriman. Art Sanders is in the studio with us as well. And Tammy, when we left off, we were talking about the tape. The tape has its own journey.
I have
it
to
does.
Hear this. What happened
it
to
does.
This tape?
Well, you know, there was an old movie, and I think it's called The Story of the Gun or something like that, and it follows a handgun from the time it's manufactured all the way through its life.
Yeah.
I feel that way about this tape. Guy Rossbrook, my husband, shot the videotape consistently from the Millennium Hilton directly across the street at the World Trade Center, literally moments after the second both planes hit, through both buildings collapsing. And so we remained in New York after that, and Guy was injured. He didn't know it immediately afterwards, but he had a slight fracture in his neck. We ended up, because you couldn't leave New York, all the planes were grounded.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up in a little apartment of friends, that vacant apartment in Chinatown. And so Guy was in bed, and that's when I knew that Guy was so badly injured. And in New York, we got one channel, and it was kind of like a public broadcasting channel on television. And I saw Rudy Giuliani giving one of his many speeches that he gave to New Yorkers and to the nation, but this one was to New Yorkers. And he said, listen, you know, a lot of this stuff is ending up on the internet. A lot of these videotapes that people have shot or pictures. And he said, I'm going to beg you, stop doing that with these videotapes. Stop putting it up on the internet. You know, this could be evidence. This is a murder case. And he said, you know, these planes were hijacked. We know that. This is literally like 2 days, next day, 2 days after 9/11. And he said, you know, these videotapes could be considered evidence. And I had looked back on what Guy had captured on this videotape, and I knew this was a pretty consistent record of from Tower 1 being struck to both towers collapsing and from one location. And so, you know, that feeling of protecting that videotape kicked in right then with Rudy Giuliani. And so we protected that tape. We actually, when we left that fiery hotel, we took the videotape with us. And so we got back. And so I called the FBI. I called 411 and asked for the number for the FBI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know they must have thought I was crazy. And I said, you know, which I am to one degree or another. And I said, I have this videotape. And so they said, you know, we'll make a copy of it. So we did. And we were now home in Seattle. And they came and picked it up. It was literally that day or the day after we got home from Seattle that I was in Starbucks where they have the New York Times. And I saw that mugshot of Zachariah Moussaoui, the accused 20th hijacker. Guy's laid up in bed from his injuries now, from his neck. And I see this picture of Zachariah Moussaoui. And I read that they are holding him in Minnesota, that he had been taking flight training to take off planes, but he didn't want to land them. And they believed that he had wanted to be the 20th hijacker, but was interrupted by being arrested, and they were holding him on immigration charges. That's all the only way they could hold him. And they knew he was up to something. So I read the article, and it said David Novak was one of the chief prosecutors. So again, you know my personality. I pick up the phone, and I call the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and I get David Novak, the prosecutor, on the phone. And I said, look, you know, I have this videotape. It was caught, you know, it was taped by my husband from directly across the street, the World Trade Center. And I don't know if you want this or not, but you might. He said, I want you to make a copy and I want you to send it to me. And that's what I did. I made a copy of that tape and then we sent it to David Novak in his very thick East Coast accent. He calls me up and it was like talking to Tony Soprano. And he said, I want you to protect this tape. He said, we're going to go after that blankety blank that we believed, we've got a lot of evidence on him, and this tape's going to be evidence. And when we come back, I'll tell you how it was evidence. Guy's tape was evidence.
Key evidence that is still in play to this day, in fact. More on that right after a break from ABC News.
A dedication in Pennsylvania kicks off the 10th anniversary weekend of the September 11th attacks. A memorial is being dedicated in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 crashed. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar credited the victims' families in getting the memorial completed.
Their partnership in this process, in this place, will ensure that the legacy of your loved ones is never forgotten.
It's believed Flight 93 crashed after a revolt by passengers against the hijackers. Former President George W. Bush spoke at the memorial's dedication.
What happened above this Pennsylvania field ranks among the most courageous acts in American history.
After several days out of their homes, some residents are being allowed back into their homes in northeast Pennsylvania. As the Susquehanna River and its tributaries recede, a mandatory evacuation order for 70,000 Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania residents is being lifted at this hour. 14,000 rounds of ammunition disappeared from Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Investigation underway. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Como News Time, 11:31, and let's go ahead and check our news quickly here. It is 67 degrees in Seattle right now. Art Sanders here in your top stories from the Como 24-Hour Newsroom. More firefighters joining the 550 already battling a wildfire near Goldendale. The fire started Wednesday in the forests along U.S. Highway 97 near Sadus Pass. Officials say the blaze is about 4,200 acres, and crews have about 20% of it contained. It's burned 64 buildings, including 9 homes. About 800 acres continue to burn in a wildfire on the Olympic Peninsula. Air quality is bad, but no homes are threatened. And think you're safe from wildfires like the one burning in Goldendale because you live in the suburbs? Well, fire forecaster Andy Hainer with the National Weather Service says that may not be the case.
People who live out near the edge of the city, maybe you have a big grassy field out in back of your house. Maybe you have a big forest in back of your house.
He says there are neighborhoods next to wooded areas in just about every city in western Washington, including parts of Seattle. Fire danger is so extreme that Eastside Fire and Rescue has issued a warning asking people to water their lawns and trim shrubs away from their homes. A Tacoma man pleaded guilty after he allegedly asked his neighbors if he could dump a body in their trash. Anthony Clark's neighbors called police when they discovered the body of Devondra Davis in their garbage bin. Clark also apparently told the neighbors that he killed the teen because he beat up the mother of his child. And Billy Ray Shirley's killer is still on the loose, but his mother's not letting that stop her from helping her son's cause continue. Shirley, who worked against violence, was shot to death at a party in August. Como 4's Lindsay Cohen talked with Shalisa Hayes about Billy's fight.
For a Tacoma mother, it is a son taken away. For the community, it is a young man with a bright future who wanted to change the world. Shirley dedicated hundreds of hours to local volunteer group Peace Out. Leaders there say he'd lost friends to violence and was working to change things.
He could clearly see that there was just nowhere for these kids to go.
Hayes is raising money to build a community center in Billy's name in Tacoma. An emotional September 11th tribute to Todd Beamer High School in Federal Way on Friday. The school named after one of the hero passengers on Flight 93. Todd Beamer and others attacked the hijackers and prevented them from reaching Washington, D.C., that plane crashing down instead in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Student Mitchell St. Clair wore a shirt to honor the United 93 passengers.
Yeah, it's very important to our the history of our country to know just exactly what happened and how it brings us together and just makes us stronger.
A beam from the World Trade Center was on display at the ceremony. It will eventually be part of a 9/11 memorial at an Auburn fire station. Stay with the Como News Network this weekend as we remember 9/11 and also track the latest information on the latest terror threat. It's 68 degrees in Seattle. Coming up, we continue with this special edition of Tammy Michaels Inside Out. Art Sanders, Como News Radio.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours.
It's 11:34. Let's check on the traffic situation with Judith Larson.
Well, Jennifer, other than a literal traffic jam heading north on I-5 from about, well, south of Albro now all the way up to Lake City Way, we're not doing too bad. A little crowded heading west over the 520 bridge, but part of that relates to the fact we got the UW Husky football game at the Husky Stadium. This is the game against Hawaii that starts at 12:30. Also, the Seattle Sounders are playing at 1 at CenturyLink Field. Puyallup Affair is underway, and that's causing some crowding in the Pierce County area. And then we've got the Ringling Brothers Circus, the first performance at, in fact, getting underway right now at the Comcast Arena in Everett, causing a little crowding there. You're never more than 10 minutes away from your next traffic update. I'm Judith Larson in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Thanks a lot, Judith. Here's Theron Zahn with our weather forecast.
We could set some new records around western Washington today when it comes to heat. Our temperatures going to the mid to upper 80s. A few spots might even hit 90 degrees before the day is up. Our temperatures staying on the warm side for Sunday as well. Also in that upper 80s, even lower 90s in a few spots on a Sunday. So again, if you want some cooler temperatures, head near the water. The North Sound and places like, say, Oak Harbor, you'll be hanging out in the mid to upper 70s there. But boy, what a refreshing treat compared to, say, 90 degrees in places like Lacey and Olympia. Now, on through the following days on Monday and Tuesday. We cool things down a bit on Monday and more so for Tuesday. I'm Theron Zahn, that's your latest forecast from Como 4 News. We're working for you.
Thank you, Theron. Right now in Tacoma, 72 degrees, 74 in Kent, 75 in Bellevue, and in Seattle, we have clear skies, 71 degrees.
This is a special edition of Inside Out with Tammy Michaels, remembering 9/11.
Welcome back to Inside Out with Tammy Michaels. If you're just joining us, it is an extremely special edition today as Tammy is joined in the studio by her husband, Guy Rosbrook, myself, and Art Sanders as Tammy looks back at their experiences being across the street from the World Trade Center 10 years ago and moving forward as well. But when we left off, we were talking about the infamous tape.
The infamous videotape that Guy shot from the Millennium Hilton. And so what happened was I turned the videotape over to David Novak, who was the prosecutor in the Zachariah Moussaoui trial, because I had read about Zachariah Moussaoui in the New York Times. And so then the tape took on its own life. It was actually the only videotape, because of how consistently Guy shot it, that was shown in the congressional hearings as well as in the grand jury hearings where they indicted Moussaoui. It has gone on. It was the key piece of evidence used in the penalty phase in the Zachariah Moussaoui trial. Now, here's what happened. So Rudy Giuliani in the penalty phase, because Zachariah Moussaoui pleaded guilty to being the 20th hijacker, which would have been the plane that went down in Shanksville, and that was meant to hit the White House. So he pleaded guilty to that act of terrorism. And so it went immediately into the penalty phase. The first person that testified was Rudy Giuliani. The second person that testified in the Zachariah Moussaoui trial was Tammy Michaels. And that videotape was shown to the jury. And the reason I testified, and I asked David Novak, the prosecution, why. And he said, because the two of you could have sold that tape and made a buck, and you didn't. You could have distributed that tape to the public, and then it would not have been considered evidence. It would have been evidence that had been marred. And so, therefore, because we protected the tape, I was able to testify. So Rudy Giuliani, we spent the day with Rudy Giuliani because he testified first, and then I testified second, and Guy went with me. And Rudy Giuliani asked me, he said, you know, I'm not in any way trying to minimize, you know, who you are or what you did. But he said, I just have to ask you, why is a decorator here at the Zachariah Massari trial? And he said, you know, with a videotape. And he said, how did you get here? And I said, because Mayor Giuliani, you said that you may not know what you have. You said that you may have a videotape or photographs that might be valid evidence. I said, you told me when you were speaking in the camera that we may have something valuable. So I turned it into the FBI and I called David Novak and I said, we have this videotape that was shot from across the street. Rudy Giuliani got these big tears in his eyes. He said, thank you. I said, no, thank you. And I said, this tape is the voice of these people who stood trapped and in those buildings as it was on fire. You said to protect it. We did. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
So I got in that jury box and I was asked what happened. And I was able to be the voice of those people as they stood terrified in those windows. And I stood in that jury box and I was able to be their voice. And I feel that I will forever be proud of that account. So the videotape is now in Gitmo. Because there are others being held in the conspiracy of those attacks on 9/11. And Guy and I have been offered hundreds of thousands of dollars for this videotape. And we have never released it. It is still
from major movie producers.
Exactly. It is still evidence. It is in Guantanamo Bay. It is held by our military that is now prosecuting these individuals, including...
Yeah, well, the trial started and then it got stopped, but it'll start again against these six people that they believe are part of the conspiracy, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's recognized as the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks.
Yes, yes.
And in fact, he was the one who laid out the plan. Bin Laden scaled it back. It was even going to be bigger if KSM would have had his way. And then when he got the go-ahead, KSM was the guy that financed and raised the money for it and funded the people with wire transfers. And so he's part of what this tape is going to be used to try him.
So that's coming up. That's next.
That's next. And I could be asked to testify in that trial. And if I am, I will go to Guantanamo Bay, but our tape will be there. And so because it's protected, and then afterwards, we will still never release it and sell it. That's where people go, you need to just release the tape. Yeah. It's going to the 9/11 memorial. And just like video that is at the Holocaust memorial, this video will always belong to those who represent the lives that were lost. And Guy and I feel that we don't have the right to release the last moments of someone standing on the ledge of a burning building. They have no voice. They have no say.
And their families.
And their families. Yeah. And their precious families. And putting this in the hands of those who are family members and representing the families, that's what we believe is ultimately the end of the journey of the videotape. It'll never be sold. It'll never have a mass distribution. And
nobody will ever profit from it.
No one will ever make a dime. That is blood money. No one will ever make a dime from that videotape. And, you know, I think that what I would like to say is someone asked me how I feel about this. Well, you know, other than being a good wife and a good mother, it's very important to me that the doing the right thing by my country and being a good American and a good citizen. And I think that, you know, this is going to be the most important contribution of my life is doing the right thing with something. And I have to tell you something. I believe in providence. I think it's no accident. So other people would choose to do things differently with the tape. And what I would say is, you weren't there that day, and we were. And maybe we were there for a reason with a video camera. And maybe protecting that tape gave a voice to those who no longer have one. And I will share with you, when I got done testifying, I stopped. I got off that stand, and I stopped right in front of Zachariah Massari, the 20th hijacker, and I looked him right in the eyes, and it was really important to me to do that. And the federal marshals who are on either side of him mm-hmm. with big guns, you saw them like, oh my gosh, what is she going to do? And I just looked at him, and then I left that room. And it was so important to me because I didn't know if he was going to get the death penalty or life in prison. He got life in prison. I was not on that jury to decide that, but I wanted him to know that I was unafraid. And that was my moment that I was able to stand down.
Stare him down,
stare that murderer down and walk out of that room with my husband. Wow. And that was what was important.
Because bullies don't want to be seen. And you were saying to him, I see you and I know you and I rebuke
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know what? We are not broken people. And I want to talk about when we come back what Guy and I are doing with
yes.
all of this.
We've turned this into something, you know, different now, something positive.
We
need to hear about
have.
This.
Yes, we have.
Well, it's been a breaking experience, but it's also been a transforming experience for you and
yes.
your family.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that a little further right after traffic.
Como AAA traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours.
Here's Judith Larson with a look at traffic.
Well, the Husky football game gets underway at the Husky Stadium in about 65 minutes. Sounders play at 1 o'clock at the CenturyLink Field. And all the on and off ramps to and from I-5 to Mercer are closed. So add all that up, and that accounts for why you see westbound 520 mid-span getting crowded and really just crawling heading north on I-5 from Albro to that 520 bridge. You're never more than 10 minutes away from your next traffic update. I'm Judith Larson, the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Thanks a lot, Judith. Weather today reaching the mid-80s. Right now we have mostly clear skies in Tacoma, 71 degrees, 66 in Everett, 74 in Olympia, and 71 degrees in downtown Seattle.
Como News Radio. Now, more of our conversation with Tammy Michaels, Remembering 9/11.
Thanks for joining us on this very, very special edition of Inside Out with Tammy Michaels. As she looks back at the events of 9/11 from where she sat or from where she was across the street in the hotel with her husband, Guy, and he's in the studio with us today along with Art Sanders. So we're at the stage of the story now where we're picking up the pieces. And what a journey it's been.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that I was pretty broken after it was all said and done. And I feel it's important to share this part because people go through difficult things in their lives. And I've had the privilege of bonding with people that have had horrible things happen to them and unrelated to 9/11, but traumatizing to them. And, you know, these events traumatize me. And I just want to recap by saying that, you know, in the years, and I do mean years, that followed, I took prescription medications, antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication. I took Ambien to sleep because I had terrible nightmares, and I drank, and I drank way too much. And I did that to cover my own pain. And then what continued after that was that my Army son that we had talked into joining the military. No, we didn't talk him into the military. He wanted to join the military. And we said there couldn't have been a safer time. And then the kid ended up in the first wave going to Iraq. And I would watch the news coverage of the war in Iraq. And I just would relive this whole thing, my 9/11 experience, that war started at my feet, those people flew the planes into the buildings. Now my son is, you know, in a war zone, and the war zone is going to grow. And it just, I was in a terrible place, and I drank, and I did these things. 5 years ago, my husband, my son, and my daughter really told me that they'd had enough with what I had done to myself and covering it up. And I went away to treatment, and on the 17th of September, I will celebrate 5 years of being clean and sober.
Fantastic.
Wow.
And
yes, congratulations.
Thank you. But so this anxiety, I have this son who's in the Army, and this continues. He's still in the, you know, he's re-enlisted in the Army. And I found in talking to soldiers that were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that I had things in common with them. And so that started an interest in what was going on with our veterans. And then my nephew, Kevin, who was in the Army, was hit by a roadside bomb while serving in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And you have to know how much our family loves Kevin. Kevin was like the little boy in the movie Up. Very positive little boy growing up. And my son's best friend, they were like brothers. And, you know, they pretended to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles together.
Yeah.
And they went trick-or-treating together. And so when Kevin got injured, and so Kevin was at the hospital here outside Fort Benning. And it was very important to Kevin to have Blake come get him on the military base, and so that Kevin could come see me. And Kevin was 95% disabled, and Kevin was very excited. And when he and I spoke, we sat on the floor of my living room, and he told me, he said, Aunt Tammy, I joined the Army because of what happened to you on 9/11. And he said, I saw that, and I just wanted to do something. And he said, and I want to tell you, you're my favorite aunt. And, you know, the fact that you showed up with that videotape and that you tried, he said, I'm trying. And so he was accepted into a program for wounded warriors. And so Kevin went to Florida, and he was accepted into a program they have that's called the TRAC program, where they rebuild our wounded warriors' spirit, mind, and body. And then Kevin was offered a job by the Wounded Warrior Program to then go around to Army and military bases around the country and recruit other soldiers who'd been broken by their injuries mentally and physically and spiritually to go to Wounded Warriors in Florida and to be rebuilt. And on the night of Kevin's graduation, he died in his hotel room from complications of his injuries. And at Kevin's funeral, the young people that were in his TRAC program attended his funeral, and Kevin's funeral was in a church, and there was a big flower arrangement, and my ex-husband asked me if I would help carry some of these flower arrangements to the graveside, and I was trying to balance this big flower arrangement, and I heard this strong voice behind me. And he said, ma'am, do you need a hand with that? And I turned around, and there was a kid who was missing an arm. And he just said, it's a joke. Like, you needed somebody to make you laugh. And he said, can I get the door for you? And I said, yes. And so this one-armed young man, and his name's Norbert, opened the door. He's walking me to the car, and he says, I was one of Kevin's best friends. And so all of these young people from Wounded Warriors were there. And over that flag-draped coffin for my nephew, I stood next to these Wounded Warriors. So at lunch, Norbert asked me what I did for a living. And I said, well, I'm an interior designer. And, you know, we own a kitchen and bathroom remodeling company. And he said, are you hiring? And I said, should I be? And as I looked around this room with these veterans, he said, are you hiring? It was like E.F. Hutton spoke.
Yeah.
They all turned and looked, and they were silent. And one of them said, well, you have to understand, none of us have jobs. So I came back, and I started doing some investigation on this, and I found out that while the rest of the population is at 7 to 9% unemployment. Our veterans are at 24% unemployment. Our disabled vets are at 44% unemployment. Mm. And so I started to get angry. And when I got angry, I decided that our company, and this is a company that Guy and I co-own with Eric Goranson, Sound Kitchen and Bath would hire veterans. And we would partner with other veteran-owned businesses. And Vertical Construction, that's veteran-owned and operated, Stephen Creer, big hug to Stephen, and other veterans. Our accountant is a veteran. One of our top salespeople, Doug, is a veteran. And the list just goes on. We hire veterans. And I know we have to hit traffic again, but when we come back, I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about how this has changed our lives.
Yeah, and how you can change your life, too, by hiring a veteran.
Hire a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our battle cry now.
Como AAA traffic and weather. Every 10 minutes on the fours.
Here's Judith Larson with traffic.
Well, westbound 90 midspan, we're dealing with a disabled vehicle and a slow-go midspan westbound on the 520 bridge. And our congestion continues north 5 from Albert to 45th, but no major blocking problems right now. This report brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino. Win up to $50,000 in the exciting Tulalip Zoom Ball game during September. 9 winners each Monday. Get all the details at TulalipCasino.com. I'm Judith Larson in the Como AAA Traffic Center.
Sunny skies and highs in the 80s today. Right now it's 71 degrees in Tacoma and 71 in downtown Seattle as well.
You're listening to A Conversation with Tammy Michaels, Remembering 9/11, her personal story, on Como News Radio.
Thanks for being with us for this special edition of Inside Out with Tammy Michaels and Guy Rosbrook. Tammy, I'm just going to hand it back to you.
You know, okay, so after this whole experience and losing Kevin, my nephew, from his injuries from a roadside bomb while serving in the Army in Iraq, and we've just made a commitment to hire veterans. And I want to say a couple things. And the first thing that I want to say is that I knew I had to have a political ally. And I sought out State Senator Stephen Conway. And if I could hug this man through a microphone, I need to, because he lives in an area that's predominantly veterans. And Senator Conway has been just my champion. And I call this man, and I've got his cell phone number, and I call him, and he takes my call. And so I went to Senator Conway, and I said, we need a database that people like me can post jobs. I mean, if you're an employer and you want to hire a veteran, it's not easy to find them. So what I will say is today, call the Department of Veterans Affairs and they'll help you. But Senator Conway also supports other programs, and I got to give a big hug to our building trades, because they have a program if you're a veteran and you need a job and job training, or you know, if you're in the position to hire our building trades, they employ veterans with helmets to hard hats. So it's a whole other story that we've done before, we'll do again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Senator Conway has committed to me that he is going to put me in front of Senator Patty Murray. And we're going to get this database. And this is my battle cry. We need a database so that people like me, business owners, can post jobs. And veterans can find those jobs.
So you're going to connect.
Like a match.com for veterans. I said this, I'm a Jewish mother, and it's like I'm, you know, and I was a den mother. And so I'm like a Jewish den mother to our United States military. I am going to find them jobs, and we're going to put these things together. And I said this to Senator Conway, and he said, we need to get you in front of Obama. And all these jobs programs, this girl is getting in front of President Obama. I'm committed to that. And I think Senator Conway is committed to that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell him, you know, we need this database. And even if we have to pay for it with private money, if there is no money, I will find the money to create this database. And we will create a match.com. And that's what we're going to do. And, you know, we have to embrace the places that create jobs for veterans. It's changed me politically. It's put me in the middle. And I embrace our building trades, you know, because they embrace our veterans and they train them. And this is where I've gone. And so this family who has a son who is listening from the Army base in Fort Benning, Georgia, and has reenlisted because he could not find a job. And he's serving in our military. And our nephew dedicated this to our nephew, Kevin, that we lost, who wanted to go out and find jobs for his brothers and sisters coming out of the military. That's the commitment. We are not broken. We are not bitter. We are better. We are better. And the war goes on, and these young people come home. And Guy and I will be here to welcome them with open arms in our businesses, and we will hire them, and we want other people. If you're listening today, contact our Department of Veterans Affairs, and we want to help you find jobs for these veterans. Thank you.
Very well
Fisher
said.
Fisher Broadcasting.
Thank you.
Como News Radio.
The passion is there.
Thank you, Art Sanders and Jennifer Harriman. Thank you, Jim Clayton, for allowing us to dedicate these 2 hours today.
Thank you, Tammy.
And thank you, Tammy and Guy, for sharing your stories today. It was very brave and very important.
Fisher Communications, the very latest news, traffic, weather, Como News Radio.